Once again, good morning, church family. First of all, let me explain the title the way you see in the bulletin. You see the word brother in one direction in blue, and you see it fading towards the clear blue, and then you see brother written the other way. But I don't know how many of you are able to see in between the two B's. There is a cross, or some say a plus sign. So basically the title for our message today is actually Brother and Brother. That is the title for our message today. And when we ask anyone, do you know what a brother really is? There is so many use of the word brother in the world today. There are many contexts, in different contexts, how the word brother is applied. By definition, a brother is a male who has the same parents as another one, or one parent in common with another person. It's also one related to another by common ties or interests. And that can be applied also for the same definition of a sister, okay? It could be a fellow member, used as well as a title for ministers or priests in some denominations. Some denominations, they don't call the leaders a pastor or priest, and they call brother. One of the type of similar, a person who has a same type or a similar to another person. One who shares with another a common national or racial identity. And the list goes on and on. And there are some, there are brothers they call brother-in-law, step-brother. There is sometimes people talk about being brother just because they have a special relationship or friendship with another person. As we use the, for just for an example, use of the word brother in a sentence. We usually we hear this on the news, and every time when people talk about our people in uniform, we say we must support our brothers and sisters fighting overseas. Today, it is a day that is sad in many aspects, but also a day that we need to look forward. I remember 20 years ago when early in the morning we saw what no one was to see. A brother raising his hand against his brothers. Using airplanes, using all most effective, destructive tools that they could get a hold of at that time. A brother trying to strike a brother. Yes, because in this life, we all came from the same mother, we all came from the same father, we all came from the hands of the same Creator. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are brothers. Brothers and sisters. By creation. And then that day, when a brother decided to strike a blow on another brother, it caused a lot of pain. Pain that has been present into this day. I was looking at the news. I see people that have survived that disaster. And those, the children that are no longer have their parents at home because a parent was in the towers and also was killed. Some people were in a building close by and they were killed as well. A disaster. A strike of a brother against a brother that is still in this day is caused a lot of tears, a lot of pain in many people. Sometimes we are asked to remember the past so that the future can be, you know, spared from us to repeat the same mistakes that we have in the past. But as long as good and evil are present in this world, there will be always a Cain. And there will be always Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, as was read by our sister this morning, Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out in the field." Of course, he was using a deceptive technique just to pull his brother away from their parents. He thought that he could hide from the parents, but he didn't realize that the real parent, God, could see everything. And by the way, God always does. I have seen sometimes people doing things and they look in one side, they look another side, they look in front, they look in back, but they always forget to look up because Abba always sees everything. But so Cain took Abel to the field. While they were there, and I can imagine Cain talked to him, tried to distract him, making him feel comfortable, not to any distress. So Cain was used, put all his acting together. Just like some people here in Hollywood use a lot of skills to deceive people, you know, and earn money, earn fortune to do so. Cain was a good actor. He was pretending to be a good brother when he already in his heart, he already has the intention, the plan. This is what they call in law, they call premeditated crime, because he planned everything. He took the steps. He knew exactly where to take his brother. He knew exactly what weapon he was going to use. And so he then attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Later, the Lord, later, when we don't know how long, but God looks like gave Cain a time to think, to reason, before he came out of all that anger, all that adrenaline that he had by killing his brother. So God gave him some time, and then God came in. And the Lord says to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" Cain answer, "I don't know. Is it my job to take care of my brother? I'm not a babysitter. He's a grown man. It's not my job to take care of him." Since then, many people have been Cain, and many people have been chosen to be Abel. I like to be Abel. I don't like to be a pain. Yes, I said pain. That's what Cain became a symbol of throughout the generations. The Bible tells us about another two brothers. You find that in Genesis also. In Genesis chapter 4, we find the story of Cain and Abel. In Genesis chapter 16, we find Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael says, chapter 16 of verse 12, and I'm reading from the New Century Version, it says, "Ishmael will be like a wild donkey. He will be against everyone, and everyone will be against him. He will attack all his brothers." Just a second. It seems like those words can fit 100%, word by word, to Cain. If you look carefully, when you read about what happened to Cain and how Cain was sent away from his family, I mean, when he became someone who will continue generate violence and use that as an excuse for his own way of thinking. Ishmael, it says the Bible, will be like a wild donkey. You know why they say donkey? Because they know reason. They act and react to violence, but they don't have no reason power. It's a beast. And it says he will be against everyone. And that includes his own brothers. Just like Cain. Genesis 25, verse 18, New Century Version as well, it says his descendants lived from Havilah to Shur. which is east of Egypt, stretching towards Assyria, they often attack the descendants of his brothers, meaning the descendants of Isaac. Thousands of years has passed, brothers and sisters, and Cain is still stretching out his hand and is striking his brother. Ishmael is still doing exactly what Cain did. A brother is striking a brother. Now, also in the book of Genesis, chapter 27, we see two other brothers. Now is Esau and Jacob. In a New Century Version as well, Genesis 27, verse 41, it says this. After that, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing from Isaac. He thought to himself, my father will soon die and I will be sad for him. Then I will kill Jacob. Now, we know the story, don't you? You know that Isaac one day was hunting and he was so hungry, and so he came and saw Jacob cooking a very nice food there, and he says, you know what? I would like to have some of your food. I'm so hungry. I can die if I don't eat something right now. And usually people that are, they don't have no principles, they usually are very dramatic about everything, aren't they? They said, I can die if I don't eat. So Jacob took the opportunity and says, you know what? You have something very precious that I don't think that you can handle, but I like to have it. And what is it? Oh, your firstborn's right. Oh, I will sell you anything. I can give you, I'm about to die. Who cares about birthright? Here it is. I'll give to you. Promise? Yes, I promise. Okay, give me that food. And he ate the food. He ate the food and he gave his birthright away. Why did he give his birthright away? Because he didn't care about anything but just the moment what he wants. And that was the problem with Ishmael. That was the problem with Cain. And that has been always the problem of the brother who does not love the other brother as well it should be. And it says clearly, and you can read in Genesis 28, verse 6 to 9, New Century Version says, Esau learned that Isaac has blessed Jacob and sent him to the northwest of Mesopotamia to find a wife there. He also learned that Isaac had commanded Jacob not to marry a Canaanite woman, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother. Same as you can see, same connection with Abel. Abel had obeyed, therefore he was accepted. So Esau hated Jacob because Jacob obeyed and was blessed. Abel obeyed and was blessed. And that's why Cain raised his hand and killed Abel. When those came to attack his brother here in the United States, they came out of jealousy because the United States is blessed by God. It's Abel being blessed and Cain hate because of jealousy. And jealousy and hate will go on until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes us away from this place, because Cain's hands will rise again over and over against Abel and those that are obedient to the Lord. It says here, verse 8, so Esau saw that his father Isaac did not want his sons to marry Canaanite women. By the way, at this time, Esau already had married Canaanite wives. Now Esau already had wives. Yeah, they were the type that his father did not want. Nobody wants. But he went to Ishmael, son of Abraham, and then he got a wife there as well, because he thought, oh, I cannot get the one that my father wants because it's too far away, but I can, very close by here, there is somebody that it is kind of relate to us because of the of Abraham. Ishmael is, okay, he married Ishmaelite, a woman, and he multiplied his wives, but none of them were according to what his parents want. It is not clear why he thought it would help to add a more acceptable, quote-unquote, wife to the unacceptable ones that he already have. Now he goes and chooses one Ishmaelite to become part of his life when he knew that they all already hate all the people, all the children of Isaac. And that's what his story tells us. In Genesis 33, verse 4, New Central Version, but Esau ran to meet Jacob and put his arms around him and hugged him. Then Esau kissed him, and they both cried. When we read this, we think, oh, so the problem between the brothers were finally resolved. They love each other. They kiss. They forgive each other and everything else. But then, if you continue reading the Bible in other texts, I have one suggestion for you. Open your Bible in Obadiah, verse 3, New Living Translation. Look what it says there. You have been deceived by your own pride because you live in a rock fortress and make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach us way up there, up here? You ask boastfully. He's talking about Esau, the descendants of Esau. If you continue reading verse 12 to 14, New Century Version says, Edom, do not laugh at your brother Israel in his time of trouble, or be happy about the people of Judah when they are destroyed. This is when a brother that hates a brother, when some disaster happened to the brother, instead of having pain, they rejoice. And that's what he's saying here about Esau's descendants. They enjoy, they party, they celebrate when calamity came upon Israel. Today is not any different. We are here celebrating, we are here being reminded of the calamity of 20 years ago. And there are places, and sometimes the media is so biased, they don't show, but there are places in the world right now that the people actually are celebrating. They look at that as a triumph, as a reason to be proud. No one can be proud when a brother strikes a brother. That is just evil. But Obadiah, verse 12 and verse 4 to 14 says clearly that Esau's descendants, have joy in their hearts when something happened to the children of Isaac, of Jacob, his own brother. He says, verse 13, do not enter the city gate of my people in their time of trouble, or laugh at their problems in their time of trouble. Do not take their treasures in their time of trouble. Do not steal from them. Don't rob them. Don't sack them. Don't bring violence against them. Verse 14, it says, do not stand at the crossroads to destroy those who are trying to escape. Do not capture those who escape alive from their enemies and turn them back to their enemy in their time of trouble. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15, New King James. It says this about the father of those that choose to turn their back to God. It says here about, and you can see the parallel between the behavior of this particular individual with Ishmael, with Cain, with Esau, and everybody else out there that has the same, driven by the same evil force. It says here, Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15, in the New King James, look what happens to pride and destruction. They are part of the same thing. Verse 12, how you are falling from heaven, how you were falling from heaven, all Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, or in other versions says, you who destroy the nations, who attack the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. By the way, if you read carefully, that is application, literally application to the sun, S-U-N. You know, the sun goes up, it says, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the fastest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And there is no doubt throughout the centuries, all pagan churches, even some that call themselves Christians, they use the worship of the sun. That's why they go to church on Sunday. It is here clearly specified. Satan here is making a symbol of himself as the sun that goes up and will be above everything, above the stars in the mountains. It says, verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, or to the grave, to the lowest depths of the pit. And the Bible says in Revelation, they call him, you know, he was sent to the bottomless pit. That is the destroyer, the Abaddon. In other words, the ones who generate destruction will end up self-destroyed. Now let's go back to Obadiah. In a common English Bible, verse 10, look what it says about also the same. See the parallel between the destruction that is predicted, the destruction of Satan, Lucifer, a destruction of Cain, a destruction of Edom. Here is what it says about Edom. Because of the slaughter and violence done to your brother, talk about Jacob, your brother Jacob, shame will cover you and you will be destroyed forever. That is clearly Edom here is also a symbol of evil, the same symbol of Cain represented when he raised his hand against his brother. Now, I'd like to quickly go to the Bible and see what the Bible defines as brother in many different senses. Because brother is not only somebody who has something in common with me as far as the blood, as far as parents. Let's open our Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 to 23. Please, 2 Corinthians 8, 16 to 23. It says like this, verse 16. I thank God because he gave Titus the same love for you that I have. Now, this is Paul writing this to the members of the church in Corinth. You know, the Corinth is the church that gave Paul the most difficult, the hardest time. There were a lot of very liberal people in that church, and people that did not have a profound respect for authority. And Paul has a hard time with them. But this is still Paul talks like this to the church, even though they have their not so wonderful behavior. Paul loved them. And this is what he says. Titus accepted what we asked him to do. He wanted very much to go to you. And this was his own idea. I didn't send him. I didn't ask him. It's his own idea. Verse 18, we are sending with him. And notice this in your Bible. It says, we are sending with him the brother. Who? The brother. Which one? The brother. Who is praised by all the church because of his service preaching the good news. But who are you sending? The brother. Verse 19, it says, also this brother was chosen by the churches to go with us when we deliver this gift of money. We are doing this service to bring glory to the Lord and to show that we really want to help. And then goes on by saying, we are being careful so that we no one can criticize us, so that we do this, handle this gift in a very proper way. We are trying hard to do what God wants to do, and as the people think is right as well. Verse 22, also we are sending with them, again, our brother, who is always ready to help. That is the kind of brother that everybody wants to have, isn't it true? A brother who is always ready to help. He has proved this to us in many ways, and he wants to help even more now because he has much faith in you. A real brother is the one who has faith in you, the one who does not turn his back on you, who is always ready to help. That is a real brother. And continue by saying, verse 23, now about Titus, he is my partner who is working with me to help you. And about the other brothers, they are sent from the church and they bring glory to Christ. I want to call your attention, brothers and sisters, to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 18, and it says, and we are sending him the brother. Which brother? Brother John, Brother Larry, Brother Peter, Brother Robert, Brother Joseph, which brother? It just say the brother. It's very evident for us, and is that the relevant point, it was not who he was as far as his name, but where this brother wants to be and wants to do. Paul doesn't tell us his name. He doesn't tell us where he was from. He doesn't tell us his age or nationality or what race he belongs to or any. He doesn't tell us what he did for a living. All Paul tells us about him is that he was sent with the man of God because he was, and I quote from Scripture, it says, praised by all the churches, not one church, but praised by all churches because of his service in preaching the good news. The Apostle Paul tells us that Titus wanted to go unto them, and he blessed them to go. And Paul sent Titus with whom? The brother. As we send with him, with the brother. So this brother, brothers and sisters, how do we know about him? We know that he was obedient to the men of God. He was obedient to the leadership of the church. Those that God appointed to lead. Verse 18. The work of God is not to be done by few. Every brother, every sister needs to be committed, to be willing to do everything that needs to be done. There must be men and women in the church that is willing to help. A true brother, a true sister. It doesn't matter the name. It doesn't matter where you come from. All that matters is that you are my brother, that you are my sister, and that you really want to help. You want to stand up, and you care about what happens to us as a family. But not all that are sent are really brothers. There are some that claim to be brothers, but they will raise their hand against any strike and hurt and criticize, even though they pretend to be brothers, but they act like Cain. They act like Esau. They act like Ishmael. All that they think is about themselves, they act like Lucifer. He didn't care what happened to the kingdom of heaven. All he cared is that people follow him, and he took 1/3 of the members of heaven with them, of the angels. Took them where? To nowhere, to destruction, to the abyss. Not all that are sent will be obedient, but thank God there is always the brother. There is always the sister. There is always someone who is willing to listen and to do what needs to be done. Thank God there is someone always available to be the brother, to be the sister, when we need the most. Thank God. Thank God. There are someone here in our church who is always obedient to call from God and to accept the calling to be a brother, a sister, one sent by God. Yes, someone who is just not looking for special titles, somebody doesn't want to do any, be glorified by what they do. They just want to be the brother, the sister that is needed. A person who has a good reputation with the church knows, by the way, everyone in the church knows what kind of brother, what kind of sister you are. No matter how much we pretend to be good or not to be good, people know, people have brains, they know, and God knows. Paul doesn't even tell us the name of this person. All that he says is that the brother, and yet he was famous. Everybody knew the brother. He had a godly reputation in the church. The Bible says clearly that we need to be godly in the church and more even godly in the before the world. Because whatever we are the brother, the one that God has sent to look for other brothers and sisters. He has a reputation as one who helped to preach the gospel. He dedicated to preach, even though he needs to do other things in order to earn his living. Yes, the Bible says he gave to missions. He supported the local church. And he was even taking the gift he was part of the commission that was taking the gift to the church to help the church. He was directly involved in the work. He was a real brother. We are not sure of all that he did, but we can be sure about one thing. He had a reputation of assisting the church, spreading the gospel. He preached the gospel. He received praise and appreciation from the church. He was recognized by the church as somebody who was a hard worker, who was a real brother. If you are inquiring about the brother, he was a messenger to the church, and he was a glory to Christ because he was building the body of Christ. Watch how you treat him. He is the glory of Christ. When you see your brother and your sister in church, remember, watch how you treat them. They are part of the body of Christ. They are part of Christ. They are a brother, a sister. Therefore, show to them the proof of your love. Teach the church how to treat the men of God. Teach the church how to really treat a brother as a brother, the way God wants us to. What can we learn from a brother? He finds out what he can do to help. He cannot stay around and not doing his part. He's not the one who always have excuse to say, oh, no one asked me for help, therefore, when they come to me and ask, I'll do it. That is excuse to somebody, not this brother. This brother, he took action. He was the one who asked, what can I do to help? He took initiative because he cared. He was driven by love. Love for the head of the body and love for the body of Christ. Consider the story of the Good Samaritan brothers and sisters. When people ask Jesus, who is my brother? Who is my neighbor? Who is my brother? You may ask, who is my brother? Two religious leaders passed by and saw that someone was there, laying down, needing help. But they probably said, somebody else will help them. I do my part. I do all the things. I already conduct a service there in Jerusalem. That's not my job. Somebody else should do that. So he passed by. He ignored his responsibility. Somebody else will take care, but not the Samaritan. He came, he said, I must help. He did not ask, should I help? Or is somebody else coming? by the way, this guy's a Jew. If he finds out that me, a Samaritan, even touch him, he may be offended. Or, you know, somebody, let somebody else do. No, he did not think that way. He said, I must help. He was the brother, the real brother, according to what Jesus said. He was the situation. He saw the situation, and he took action. Many are crying out for help in our world today, without sometimes even saying a word. We need, as a true brother, as part of the body of Christ, to learn, to be aware, and to learn to listen. We will give an answer to God for letting people slip through our hands, people that God intended for us to be the brother that they needed. And because of some excuses, because we are preoccupied with some other things, we deny the opportunity to be a brother for someone who needs a brother. God may have called you, my brother and sister, not just to be a leader in the church, but for sure, the most important title that you may have in the church is that of a brother, the sister. Your giving will reach parts of the world. Yes, your daily giving, your faithfulness, will be reaching part of the world that you have no idea and nobody even know who your name is. For them, all they know about you is that you are the brother, because when your donation arrives there, they said, a brother, send this to us. God just wants you to be a brother, nothing else. You shouldn't seek to be admired. Just seek to be a blessing. Be a real brother, a real sister. It shouldn't matter to you if you get credit. Remember, let Jesus take the credit. And when you get to heaven, Jesus will say to you, by the way, here's your account. Look at all the credit you have. Because Jesus is not going to keep the credit to himself. He'll give all back to you. Just be perfectly happy for being the brother. The question that Cain asked, am I my brother's keeper? Cain killed his brother Abel. Cain chose disobedience. Just because Abel chose to obey, Cain hated him and raised his hand against him. Instead of getting right with God, Cain got mad at Abel. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field, you know the story, he ended up killing him. And God said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Brothers and sisters, God is asking the same question today to you and I. Where is your brother? Where is your sister? I hope none of you will answer, am I my brother's keeper? I do not have an obligation. I do not have an obligation to anybody else but to my brother and my sister. I am responsible for my brother's spiritual welfare. Yes, I am. Look what John chapter 1, verse 41 says in a New Century Version. The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and say to him, Brother, we found the Messiah. Yes, we have been waiting for 4,000 years for this good news. And yes, the greatest thing ever. We found the Messiah. Come. Yes, Andrew came to his brother when he found the most precious promise that he ever been made into the world. He said, I found. So the first thing that came to his mind, I must go to my brother and share with him. I cannot keep this to myself. Am I my brother's keeper? If you ask Andrew, Andrew says, certainly I am. That's why the first thing that came to my mind is to run to my brother and tell him. In Luke 15:32, it talks about that this dilemma between the younger son and the older son, the one they call the prodigal son. This is what verse 32 says. We had to celebrate. This is the Father. That's Abba speaking. He says, we had to celebrate and be happy because your brother was dead. But now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. It was this older brother, a symbol of Cain as well, because he didn't care for his brother either. He didn't care if he was dead. Actually, it sounds like he wished that he would be dead then, because everything would be him, it would be his, just like Cain, just like Esau, just like Ishmael, just like those that today, even today, they always strike those that are ones to follow God's footsteps, those that are ones to obey God, just like Abel did. Cain's hand is still been striking his brother. Who is my brother? By blood. Yes. Do you know? Those of you that are listening to me right now, do you know that you are my brother, my sister, by blood? Sometimes he says, oh, no. I'm not his brother, biological brother. Do you know that bio means life? And do you know that you are my brother and my sister by blood? No, just a second. I'm not talking about my blood. I'm talking about Jesus' blood. Yes, you are my brother by blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 12, verse 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to Jesus, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Verse 48, but he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who is my brothers? And verse 49, and Jesus stretched out his hands towards his disciples, to the people that was listening to him there, and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Meaning, those that does my Father's will by blood, by the blood that I will share on the cross, will be forever my brother, my sister, my mother. The brother implies a spiritual relationship, eternal relationship. We call each other brothers and sisters in a church, in a biblical term. That is very appropriate, because you see, the brothers and sisters, the relationship that we have here with those that are from the same parents may be temporarily, because if we are not true brothers and sisters in Christ, that maybe one day will be forever ended. But to those of us that by the blood of Christ we are brothers and sisters, our relationship will be forever. The Bible talks about the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 27. It says clearly that we all part of the body. So we are united as members by the blood of Christ. The head that guides all of us is Christ, the Bible says. And each one of us, even though we are different members, but we all connected. The Bible says that the blood is where the life is. And Jesus said, I am the life. So he's not only the life of the body, but he is the life of every member of the body. Every member of the body receives the same blood that comes from the head, which is Jesus Christ. So we all, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our relationship as Christians is often greater than the one of a biological brother and sister may have. I want you to listen to this very carefully, to these words that Paul addressed to one of his brothers. I'm talking about one of his church members, Philemon, chapter 1, verse 7, over 7, he says, I have great joy and encouragement because of your love. Since the hearts of God's people are refreshed by your actions, my brother. I'd like to say this to each one of you. Each one of you that are faithful in every sense of the word. Those of you that are dedicated your time to provide the brotherhood, the sisterhood that we as the family of Christ needs. To all of you, I'd like to say, this applies to you. I have great joy and encouragement because of your love. Since the hearts of God's people are refreshed by your actions, my dear brother and sister. In conclusion, I'd like to illustrate with a true story. Dr. Robert Higginson, he was a physician. He was also a professor of medicine. He was working out in the city of Pittsburgh. As a Christian layman, he got interested in a dilemma of the diseased peoples of the world. He found out that thousands of world's children were dying each year from a host of contagious diseases. So Robert Higginson persuaded some of his colleagues in the medical profession to donate money. He talked to some pharmaceutical manufacturers to supply vaccines, and then went off to Central America to inoculate children against some of the diseases that were taking their lives in that part of the world. But Dr. Higginson found out very soon, by the time he got there, that when the people heard that this doctor was there and with his team and to provide these vaccines against all type of illness that they were killing their children, they line up hundreds and thousands to receive the treatment. He found out very quickly that only one or two helpers that he had with him could only vaccinate just 24 hours a day, just few people, even if they spend 7 days a week, 24 hours every day. The line was so long and there were so many people, there was no chance that he was going to accomplish much. So he decided to come back to America with the burden in his heart that he has to find some way, some kind of a way to be able to be more effective. So he had an idea in his mind. He got together with some of his physicist friends, and they developed a high-speed, high-pressure inoculator, a kind of a, like we say, a jet gun, a jet injector, so that a person could just bare the arm, and with one high-pressure shot, instead of getting one needle, you get several different vaccines could go in the same time onto the arm of that person. It didn't even break the skin. And that was wonderful for the children because the children even thought this was fun. So it makes more effective in both ways. With this new injector, 1,000 people could be vaccinated each hour. Not each day or each week, each hour. So Dr. Higginson and his helpers could go anywhere in the world now, set up with what he called the peace gun, and shoot thousands of people with health instead of death. In nearly 40 years of work, it is estimated that this one man's effort have immunized 10 million people and counting. Some nations have had diseases wholly eradicated just because of the effort of one Christian brother who decided that he needs to seek his brothers. But now, here is why I'm telling you this story today. Like anybody would have to do, in order to do this task in one orderly way, and so that he could receive financial support, he set up on a no-profit foundation. It was called My Brother's Keeper. You know exactly where he got this name, right? My Brother's Keeper. But a Nigerian student came one day to him and said, "Doctor, we don't need a keeper. We need a brother." Dr. Robert Higginson recognized immediately what was at stake. So he decided to change the name. So the foundation no longer is called My Brother's Keeper. It is now called Brother's Brother Foundation. Brothers and sisters, we need a foundation in our church. A foundation that is Christ, the precious stone. Our real brother who gave his life for us. As the Bible says, how can you know really who is the brother but the one who gives his own life, who lay his own life on behalf of his brother? That's the real brother. He is the foundation. Are you ready to be the brother, the sister, that Abba needs to create a steady foundation so that the Lord can come? And many of our brothers and sisters, they are now there waiting to be called in. We leave Babylon and we come because it says, "Come out, my people, come out of Babylon." I hope that you become a real brother. Remember, you don't need to be anything else. You just need to be the brother, the sister that Abba created you to be. May God bless you, my brother. May God bless you, my sister. I like to say this, and I said this many times. I always in my life, I dream to have a brother. The last time I saw my brother, I was 4 years old. And I dream every day of the day that I was going to see him. One day I received 34 years later, I received news I was 38, that he was killed. And that I was not able to see him. I was at 16 baptized. And when I was baptized, I got a real family. Now I have a brother. Now I have a sister. Now I have a mother church. And soon, I'm going to see Abba. I hope you come with me, brother. I hope you come with me, sister. Be my brother. Be my sister. I am your brother. God bless.